In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Joining us now, we haven't had a comedian on in a long time. We're very excited about this. He's going to be in Portland coming up on May 5th at the Newmark Theater, and he's doing a couple of shows that day. The Eras Tour is coming to town. Sam Morril joining us now, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Sam Morril. He's also a diehard Knicks fan, so we got to talk a little NBA playoffs with you. I'm curious, Sam, from your perspective, like, I hate getting up early, and I have to do this every day for a living. You got to do a lot of these hits in different cities. How much do you hate doing these interviews?
Well, this isn't early for me. If I'm in New York, it's 10:35 right now.
Okay. So it's a little bit later on in the morning, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, if this was 7:30, I'd hate you right now, okay. But I'm good.
Yeah. If you were on the West Coast, you would hate it. We were talking before we brought you on, Sam, about the Blazers suck. I'm curious to get your thoughts on our organization, if you even, you know, how many people on the East Coast even know that they exist. But
Danny Avdija, great season, though. I mean, there's a couple bright spots for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anyone was like, DeAndre Ayton is going to turn it around for you guys. You know, it's like, Simons is a nice player. You got some young, nice players, but yeah, you're complete rebuild mode.
We're kind of in no man's land. How much does it, what is the feeling like? Cause we were talking about what it feels like when the Blazers are in the playoffs, and there's only one show in town here. So when they're in the playoffs, it's a big effing deal. When the Knicks are in the playoffs, what's that like in New York? And especially after they lose, like, what's the feeling like? What's the vibe like out there right now?
Well, yeah, I totally get it with you guys. I mean, you got no other professional sports team. It's either the Blazers or a vegan strip club in Portland.
Damn right it is. Yeah.
You want to have a good experience. I mean, Dame was amazing for you guys. He was always big time in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, New York's incredible. I was at that game 2 loss. It was brutal. It was a tough one to lose. It's the way they lost it. It was just an ugly game. So. It's the building's incredible. The Garden is, there's nothing like MSG. To me, there's nothing better in sports. So, it was crazy to be in the building with that energy. And it was also crazy to just hear the energy sucked out.
Now, when you're on the road, I'm curious because of the way the schedule tends to go for you when you're doing shows at night, like, how much are you prioritizing Knicks games? Like, you miss games. Are you recording these games and watching them, or do you just miss them and move on because the season's long? How do you handle the Knicks season while you're on the road?
I'm not big on recording games. There's something to me about, like, it's kind of live or bust. Mm-hmm. I have a friend at the Cellar who's always hosting Mike Yard, and he's always like, don't tell me the score. And I'm like, dude, I mean... You don't check your phone at all. Like, I have too many Knicks fan friends that I'll get texted about the game anyway. Like, I get more texts on, like, a Knicks midseason game than on my birthday. That's just how it is. I have so many Knicks threads going. I mean, look, if I'm at the Cellar, if I have a night off, I'm like, I'll watch the Knicks. I'll kind of like plan nights off to watch the Knicks. So I love just watching a game at home.
Yeah, I'm one of those, like, if I record something for the show, like, to watch, oh, I got to watch a football game, but I'll miss it live. Like, I don't care if I know the score. I'll still go back just to see how it all played out. Are we nervous going back to Detroit right now? It kind of feels like maybe they could have been up 2-0, but the Knicks had that big run. Or where are we at on the confidence meter for the Knicks going back to Detroit?
Well, the funny thing is either team could have been up 2-0 right now. That's the weird thing.
True.
You know? I mean, look, you got home court. You want to protect it. So do I feel great? Of course not. The Pistons are a tougher team than us, which is annoying. It's annoying to watch a team. New Yorkers are so much about toughness. And that 90s Knicks that we grew up on was kind of modeled after that Bad Boys Pistons team. You know, Ewing, Oak, Mace. That was kind of like, in some ways, like Isaiah – you know, Lambeer, Mahorn, it was kind of that energy, right? Except they won 2. We didn't win. But they also got Jordan when he was young, so it was different, you know, and Magic when he was a little older. So they kind of had a little window that we didn't have. Yeah, I mean, like, we lost a lot of our fit and toughness. Like, the fit with Dante, is Mikhail better than Dante as a player? Probably, but he's a worse fit for us, right? You need shooting with this lineup. And then, is Hardenstein a better player than Cat? I mean, you can't. It's hard to argue against Cat's shooting ability and everything, but Hardenstein just kind of fit like a glove. He was such a brick wall. I loved watching him. So we lost some guys who were just like a really good fit for the culture.
Yeah, we're talking with Sam Morril. He's going to be at the Newmark Theater on May 5th. His stand-up tour comes to town, the Eras Tour. He's got multiple shows, two different ones. You can go check him out May 5th at the Newmark Theater. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam Morril. You mentioned MSG and it being like the Mecca. And it's near the top, I think, of almost every sports fan's list who's never been there. Of like, God, I'd love to, whether it's a big game or a regular season game, doesn't matter. Just like seeing a game in the Garden would be incredible. You get the chance to travel the country, which I'm sure is like grueling and exhausting. Is there a benefit of being a sports fan of like getting to check out different venues when you're on tour? And then if you have it, because that's in my like bucket list. If you were asking me, like Lambeau, the draft is there tomorrow night. I'd love to go to a game at Lambeau. I've never been to Fenway and probably MSG. What are the venues that you've never been to that are near the top of your list?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, this is a crazy one. I've never been to Wrigley Field. I feel like that's just like I feel like that's blasphemous. I'm just tired usually, dude. When I'm on the road a lot. I'm just like, people like, they always want you to do stuff during the day. I do too. You just said, I'm a genius. You just added a show on a Monday, a late show on a Monday. What am I thinking? Like, so if you do two shows on a Monday, chances are you're kind of tired Tuesday, you know? You don't want to wake up for an afternoon game. So,
what time's the bedtime after two shows in one night?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's tough. You're wired, man. Yeah. So, like, if it's one show, I can get to bed a reasonable hour. But that late show, really, you're just wired. It's like, your heart's racing, and I'm a low energy act. I'm not like Sebastian Maniscalco up there. I'm just kind of in the pocket chilling, is how I talk on stage. But after that late show, you're just pretty tired. I mean, you're pretty wired, and then it's tough to fall asleep for sure.
I'm kind of curious. I was watching some of your kind of older stand up. Like there was one from 2016 I was watching. I thought the crowd actually kind of sucked. Your jokes were good. The crowd was terrible. But you had a joke
in my life.
You had a joke in there in 2016 where you're basically like, I'm asked how I don't cheat on my girlfriend. Well, nobody wants to have sex with me. I'm curious how life has changed.
Classic Morrell.
That was classic Morrell. I'm curious how life has changed for Sam Morrell from 2016, given these, you know, nobody wants to hook up with me. I'm not big enough yet. Now you're a big deal. You're a big act. You're traveling America. Like, how has life changed for you from 2016? And do you like seeing those old cuts? Or do they make you cringe a little bit now that you're more seasoned in the comedy game?
I look back and sometimes I'm like, wow, that wasn't great. But I'm pretty proud of my early stuff. I think I always put a lot of work into my stand-up. So I look back at interviews sometimes and I'm like, oof. But my stand-up, I worked so hard as a young comic. I was surrounded by these comics who were just like workhorses and took it so seriously. So I still think that's a good joke. I love that joke. I love... And what's changed? I mean, not a lot. I'm still pretty self-deprecating. I think those are good jokes to have. I think it's good to make fun of yourself. I like to make fun of others and the women I date, you know, and stuff like that. But like, you know, you got to stay self-deprecating, man. That's what comedy is. So still try not to take yourself too seriously and laugh at your flaws, which, you know, of which I have many.
Well, we got some listeners that are on to what you have been as a comedian, probably pretty excited that you're coming to town. Now, I know phone interviews are much different than being in a city. Like you said, 7:30, you'd want to kill us. So coming into a studio at 7:30 in the morning, we might get a different Sam. And some listeners were like, be ready with the dumb button. So we went and looked at some morning interviews. And there is one from about a year ago. I don't know if you could have made this woman in Salt Lake City feel more uncomfortable than you talking about P. Diddy and hooking up with a mom of six kids.
Yeah, that mom of six story is true too. That was like perfect. Of course in Utah, right?
Yeah,
that joke was really good. That was but here's the problem. She was cool. The guy was not cool in that interview. I love doing morning interviews back in the day because I would just throw them off the rails. It would be a disaster. The problem is now if anyone has me on, they want it, and I'm not like offensive enough now.
Yeah.
Now they're like, that's it? you just made a suck my penis joke. That's all you had. And I'm just like, so, I'm sorry. I thought it was like a CBS local affiliate. I didn't know.
My bad.
I thought that was like enough for you. It's like you're into like some like heart, like I, it's like, you know, I'm just like a mischievous guy. Now, like every time someone wants to sleep with you, they're like, yeah, choke me. And I'm like, I don't really do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know what you are? You're one of those coaches who had like too much early success. You've set the bar so high for yourself now that it's hard to continue to live up to it. All these times you're doing morning interviews. When was the last time you were in Portland? Mm-hmm. And depending on that answer, what was your favorite and least favorite thing about the city?
Oh, that's a good one.
I've been to Portland many times. I mean, we did a theater there a couple years ago, and what is my favorite thing? I mean, God, sometimes your crowds get so damn sensitive. Like, I definitely have jokes about you. Here's the thing. If I do a few shows in Portland, there's going to be, like, two great ones and one horrible one. It's never, like, in between. If there's an annoying, whiny person, like, it's Portland, but then Portland's aware of its reputation, so then they'll sometimes overcompensate and be really cool. You know what I mean? So you kind of don't know entirely what you're getting. But like when I used to do Portland Helium coming up, it was one of my favorite weekends. I love that club.
Mm-hmm.
I love Portland crowds. And I feel like I get a lot of good work done, like, you know, in Portland because the crowds are smart.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are more like accustomed that when you are bothered, you're just angry. And we're like passive aggressive whiny is kind of how I would judge the two temperaments from East Coast, West Coast.
Oh, totally. Like, yeah, New York crowds are like, tell you to kill yourself. But Portland's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Keep doing what you're
just
doing.
Just give you dirty looks and like maybe a grunt or a moan after a joke.
Now, who are the Giants going to take or the Jets? Are you a Jets or Giants guy? I'm sorry for not knowing that one. And who do you want them to take, whoever you're a fan of?
I don't know. I'm a Giants fan.
Okay, there we go.
But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know enough about these guys. I don't know how like Sanders' game is going to translate. I don't know enough. So I don't even have a good take on this. Russell Wilson scares the life out of me, but also like, it's not like we were flying high with Daniel Jones the last 2 years.
Vanilla Vic?
You know, we had DeVito. So it's like, Jesus, like anything is an upgrade, I guess. But you also never know how bad stuff can get. You know, we just don't have a good team, really, it feels like, ever.
I would say your terms of not knowing how these guys – I think NFL teams are right there, too. They have no clue either. Idea. That's the beauty of the NFL draft. Nobody has any clue. And that's why we love watching it. Sam Morril's going to be in Portland, Newmark Theater. Go check him out. He's got two shows. He's not going to be tired at all. Two shows on May 5th. Go check out all the specials. Some of them are on Amazon. He was in the 2024 Roast of the Year, which was one of the top shows on Netflix this past year. So the guy's all over the place. He's going to be in Portland. Go check him out. Sam, thanks so much for the time, man. We enjoyed it. Hopefully your Knicks get a win, bing bong, tomorrow in game 3. And have fun in Portland when you're here.
Thanks for having me.